Welcome to the Road to Fueling Better podcast, hosted by registered dietitian Laura Kilkline
and dietitian in training Gina Santinello. We created this podcast to debunk diet culture myths, share evidence-based nutrition strategies, and empower you to live your fullest life without restriction.
We want to help you make informed nutrition decisions that fit your goals, whether it's optimizing your performance and recovery in the gym or simply learning how to live a healthier lifestyle.
We believe that the key to health and fitness success is to build a solid foundation of sustainable habits that support your goals. This not only includes behavior change, but more importantly, mindset change.
Together, we've helped hundreds of clients end the yo-yo dieting cycle, improve their relationship with food, hit endless PRs in the gym, and acquire the skills to optimally fuel their bodies, all while enjoying their favorite foods.
We hope that you enjoy this podcast.
If you want to learn more, follow us on Instagram at balance.fueling
and apex__nutrition. All right, so by popular demand, we wanted to discuss a pretty popular topic of cheat meals or cheat days. I think everybody can say that they've fallen victim to this kind of mentality at some point in their lifetime. I mean, I know that we're both guilty of it. So we kind of wanted to discuss, you know, our thoughts on cheat days and cheat meals and why we don't love that term and kind of how to break that cycle of feeling like you need a cheat meal or a cheat day.
Yeah. Really excited to talk about this topic. Like you said, because I think across the board, we've all experienced this sort of mindset at some point. And, you know, that's the point, is you shouldn't feel the need to cheat on your diet. You know, it should not feel like it's something that you need to break free from. You should feel like, you know, you're happy with what you're eating.
And if you do feel like you need to cheat on your diet, it's probably not the right diet that you should be following, because that's the whole thing. If you're feeling like you need to cheat, then something needs to change, because if you're allowing, and you know, my favorite thing is, by allowing everything into your diet in moderation, you won't feel the need to cheat.
Exactly.
Because I mean, cheat, like the term cheating, that's a bad term. That's definitely not a good, nothing good about a cheating.
It sort of, and it attaches guilt. Like, you know, the term cheating, like you said, like you think, oh, cheat on a test or like cheat on your significant other. Like that's like, oh, then there's like, no, like, it's like, it is, it's like a very negative. And so
you get in trouble when you
immediately, it immediately attaches that negative and sort of guilt to that behavior. And I think that's what really sends people in like a negative spiral with restrictive diets and sort of bouncing between the extremes.
Yeah. And I think, like you said, it attaches that bad to something, and we already have bad and good is already attached to different foods, and just, it's just furthering that whole issue too. Because that's, I mean, one thing that we've talked about before is, you know, like foods are not good or bad.
All eating foods can fit. Yes. Exactly.
So it's, you know, eating whatever foods, that's not good or bad either. Everything has a place.
Yeah.
Exactly. So yeah. And I know that we've talked about this before, like our experiences with cheat meals, but I can definitely say I have felt very victim to cheat meals and cheat days. There was like a long time that I would use the word cheat meals and cheat days just for like less nutritious foods. I think a couple of podcasts ago we talked about, I remember every Sunday was a cheat day for me. I'd be good all week. Sunday would come and I would just want to eat every quote bad thing, even if I didn't like it. Like I said, like, I don't even like donuts, and I'd have like 3 donuts just because it was a bad food that I was having on a bad cheat day. Like, so you're eating things, you're not paying attention at all to your hunger fullness cues. You're not paying attention to eating foods that make you feel good or feel don't. Like, you're just attaching.
You just want it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you can't have it, or you've labeled it as bad or something that's only allowed on that, you know, cheat day. And so even if it's not a favorite food that you like, you're going to want it anyway. And then, yeah, you're going to feel physically not good as a result. And then you're going to have that guilt and that those negative sort of emotions attached to it as well, and just not feel good overall. Yeah.
So it's just, it's like a cycle. Like, you're having this cheat day or this cheat meal that doesn't make you feel good. So then the next day you're just feeling, you know, like we said, probably like you need some sort of detox or some sort of restriction for undoing everything that you just did in this cheat meal or cheat day. And then it just kind of keeps spiraling, because then, you know, restriction is going to lead to wanting it again. And you know, you can have it.
Yeah, it's a vicious cycle.
It's a vicious cycle. So, and it, like you said, it is these extremes. We're going from extreme of restriction and then extreme of total over indulgence.
And yeah.
Both.
And when you're going,
don't make it.
Yeah. No, when you're going, you know, when you're in that sort of cheat day or cheat meal, like you said, you're not listening to what you actually like, you know, a lot of times, or, you know, even if it's something like whatever the food is, you just are automatically going to say yes to it, even if you're not entirely in the mood for it. Or not. Like, there is some days where maybe you are in the mood for, you know, a donut or pizza, whatever it is. But like, we're not all the time if you actually tune into your body.
Yep.
And remove that good and bad, you know, mindset around it. And you're like, do I actually want that right now?
Yeah.
How am I going to feel after? And yeah, I think when you're eating something like that, you're either so like fixated on it, because you've been restricted for so long. Blue, I know, it's a terrible thing.
Blue hates cheat days and cheat meals. He's getting triggered.
Yeah. So when you're, you know, eating that, you're like fixated on it because you've been restricting for so long. And it's probably like your body is like thanking you for energy. And so like, but then you're going to end up not listening to your fullness cues and overeating, you know, past being comfortable. So you're going to feel that like discomfort. But I think people will fixate on, oh, I'm eating this quote bad food. And that, like, fixating on that is taking them away from actually listening to their body. So yeah, basically when you are having that cheat meal or that cheat day, you're so fixated on the food and usually fixated on the fact that it was, you know, you label it as bad, that I think that's what sort of like puts these blinders on to where we then can actually tune in and listen to our body. Versus if you're like, oh, I'm just going to have this food, I'm not attaching this good or bad to it. Then you have like the mental space and capacity to actually listen to your body.
Yeah, exactly. And it kind of goes back, like when you were a kid and like your parents would make you like pizza rolls, like we were taught this behavior over time of labeling foods as good and bad, because as kids, when you're eating pizza rolls, you're not thinking, oh, I shouldn't have this until the weekend, mom. Like you're pizza rolls at 3 o'clock on a Tuesday afternoon.
Yeah. And be like psyched about it and move on after. And that's it.
Sometimes I think about that all the time. Like if we could just go back to,
oh, I know,
unlearning all of this, because that's exactly what it is. You just learn all of this. And then, like you said, like you're now like associating good and bad and creating all these food rules. And this is what kind of, like we said, gets into these extremes. And what we really want is to be like living in that gray area in between.
Yeah.
The two ends.
Not those extremes.
Yeah.
Because both, you know, I'll always tell, you know, clients that are experiencing this, and pretty much it's everyone who has experienced this. But when you're at either end of the extreme, it sucks, right? Yep. Like it sucks to be completely like under eating and super restrictive with your diet, you know, lots of ways that can happen that we've talked about, but that like you're feeling low on energy, you don't have your favorite foods, your meal satisfaction is like not there. So it's like not a good feeling overall.
Food all the time.
All the time, you know, can't mentally function, physical performance is going to suffer, just like not a good time. And then,
when you're constantly overeating, I mean, the feeling of being overly full is probably one of the most uncomfortable feelings.
Yeah.
And everybody can agree. No one's like, I love being overly full. Cause when you eat past that fullness, way past that fullness, especially on foods that are not super nutritionally like dense, you just feel awful. And I know
for yeah, and it lasts a while.
Days.
Yeah.
Like I will sometimes like I've felt awful for days on end after. And yeah, you're like, why did I do this to myself? Like after those Sundays, it would be like I would start feeling better by like Wednesday or Thursday, only to do it again.
Yeah. Again, it's that cycle, like then it just kind of repeats itself.
Exactly.
But yeah, like you just feel like physically unwell. Usually a lot of people experience like bloating or digestive discomfort, you know, from kind of having that, you know, if you think about it, for 5 days, you're eating completely different foods than what you're eating on 2 to 3 days or whatever. Yeah. And your body is basically like, what the heck are you doing?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So, and that's the thing is like, if we can kind of just establish a more balanced approach, you know,
yes,
Monday through Friday, through Saturday and Sunday, through the following Monday through Friday, like, you know, instead of having these extremes of up and down and up and down, and now your body's like so confused, it's not gonna make you feel the way you want it to. Instead, if we can just find that perfect medium and then just cruise that wave.
That's yes. Really ride the wave.
Ride the wave.
Ride the roadie, the road to feeling better wave.
Yes. This is the best way to ride. Go ahead.
Yeah. It starts with breaking that food, you know, good and bad food mentality and incorporating, like you said, incorporating that, you know, those foods that, you know, are nutritious in your diet across the board 7 days a week. And including things that maybe you once may have labeled as bad, you know, because maybe they're less nutritious, but incorporating those in, again, in a balanced way, in moderation, in a way that still like you can listen to your body and not feel physically unwell. Doesn't that sound like, oh yeah, like that option sounds the best. Like it's not really a head scratcher. Like it's like, yeah, that makes sense. That I want to pick that door, you know?
The thing is that I think that option is very scary to a lot of people because it's not what diet culture preaches. It's not black and white. And I think that at first it's very common for people to feel very out of control with this kind of approach. And
good point.
Yeah. And I think that's the whole thing is really teaching people how to feel in control around
and like how to navigate that.
Yes. Because like, we're not going to say, you know, like go eat whatever you want, whenever you want. Like, we're not saying to go eat 12 pizzas to the face when we're saying include things throughout the week. Like we're saying, okay, you want pizza on a Tuesday? Well, let's learn how to include this on a Tuesday in a nice and balanced way. So you're not thinking about it all week only to completely go overboard on Saturday.
And set yourself up. Yeah.
So I know like an example that we practice and we also preach it and give it to our clients is what can you add? So if you're wanting pizza, and one of my clients sent me a picture the other day, she's like, I was really wanting a pizza. So she added grilled chicken to it. She added vegetables to it. And in turn, that kind of fills you up a little bit more than just ordering just a plain pizza, whatever, that has, you know, less nutrients on it. So she got her pizza fixed. She also got veggies in. She also got extra protein in, and in turn ate less than what she would have if she restricted it for a week.
And
if she just ordered just pizza. So it's always about like, what can we add to
adding nutrition?
Yes. A side salad, a side veggie. Something that we can just add to it. And that right there, you're including balance in your day in a healthy way there, but still getting the food that you want.
Yeah. And it is going to fill you up sooner. And that is going to make you feel physically better versus if you just have pizza, it's going to be hard to get like full and satisfied just off of that one thing. And so then it is sometimes like it kind of does lead to overeating because you're not satisfied. So it's not necessarily, oh, just eat less pizza and that's it. It's like, well, think about what you can add, and it sort of balances itself out. And again, there's that piece of listening to your body. And like, unless you just, you know, I don't know if at any point your body is going to tell you to have 12 pizzas, you know, like that's,
I mean,
if you're listening to your body. I mean, maybe like if you're, I was just watching football and they were talking about a football player who was 6'8", 345. And I was like, he must have, his calorie needs must be through the roof. Like,
yes,
super high.
Yeah.
But yeah, like if you're listening to your body, you know, I think that's why that's such an important component too. And it's just way better to be able to say, like, honor what you want in the moment versus again, having to like, feel like, oh no, I can't have that.
Yeah. And then, you know, making a decision like that is also going to keep us in the gray area there because you're still getting your pizza, but you are getting more, feeling more satisfied by adding nutritious things to it. So you're not going to be feeling on these extreme ends. Instead, it's like, all right, I had the pizza. I'm full. Let's move on. And also I can have this tomorrow.
Like that's the best
leftover pizza tomorrow and have it again. And I think that's a big thing too, where people are, because I know I've been there, is nope, I need to finish it now because tomorrow, no more. So that kind of feeds into it too. So
then you overeat even though you know you're full.
Exactly.
But you just are like, well, I got to get it in now.
Because you're not going to have it again for another week.
Yeah.
So I think that too kind of helps, you know, when you allow yourself to have these things and you can remind yourself, I can have this again tomorrow. I can have this again the next day.
It's not going anywhere.
You're not going to feel the need to go completely overboard on it. And it goes with anything, you know?
And that's just an added bonus. Then you get to enjoy it for another meal.
Exactly.
And you actually enjoy it way more when you're having it again, when you're actually hungry versus eating it just to get rid of it.
Right.
You're not really enjoying it at that point.
No, you're just
like food satisfaction goes way down at that point. Yep. It's just not worth it.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, it's a common thing. People are like, well, I can't have this in the house because I'm crazy with this. Because I mean, not necessarily things like pizza, but I would say more things like sweets. A lot of people are like, I can't have chocolate. I can't have this or that. And I think that that's more something because you're not going to make chocolate into a meal, right? Like, so I think it's worth it to kind of talk about an example there of something like a sweet rather than an actual meal. You know, and it's, again, it's about if you feel like you have no control over this certain food, then you probably should be kind of incorporating it in your diet a little bit more so you feel like you have control over it. So something like chocolate.
Yeah.
It would be something like a lot of times our chocolate or chips, whatever it is, we'll mindlessly binge that stuff, right? People have TV on, they're talking with their friends, they have the bag of whatever, and they're like, I can't have this in the house. My number one, and I'm sure you're going to agree with me here, is become mindful. Like, turn off distractions. Yes. If you want a piece of chocolate, zone into eating the chocolate or whatever.
Yeah. Focus on that. Yeah.
Put the phone down, turn the TV off, put all distractions away and really focus on eating whatever it is that you're eating. Because again, you're going to be satisfied from a lesser amount if you're really honing in on every single bite.
Yeah.
Of food that you love so much that, you know, you feel like you have no control over.
And when we're tuned out, you know, we're not enjoying it as much. And because we're tuned out, we can't listen to our body. And then it often, then we don't feel physically good after versus, you know, again, eliminating the distractions and then you enjoy it way, way more.
And you don't need as much to satisfy you.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that would almost be something I feel like we would challenge our listeners to try. Maybe is if you feel like there is food that you just have no control over, you know, try it, buy it this week, try it. If you need to like portion it out into smaller baggies or something, but try, you know, turning off all distractions and including this food in throughout the week.
Yeah.
Reminding yourself, I can have more tomorrow. I can have more later.
And attaching zero guilt to it.
Yeah. And it's not a bad food.
Zero guilt.
Zero food labels, because that's where it really starts. You should be able to have any food in the house.
Yeah. It seems, I think, again, it's one of those things people are like, well, no, I have no control over it, like you said. And so it's just not something I keep in the house, you know? And so when you tell them to include it, they're like, wait, really? Yeah. But it's no, that's actually how you can eventually like not be so like, it's not like polarizing, like this polarizing food that again has so much like power. When you have these food rules, it's giving like power to the food, which makes no sense.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's about learning how to incorporate it. And if you keep it out of the house, you're never going to learn how to incorporate it. You know, you're only getting it, you know, buying this food on the weekends or with friends or whatever. Of course, you're going to feel out of control with it because you've been, again, it's a form of restriction. Not keeping it in the house is a form of restricting it. So then when you are exposed to it, you're going to go crazy with it.
Like, yes. You know. Yeah. And it's always sad to me when I hear people that, you know, just it's maybe something like it's one of their favorite foods, whether it's chocolate or chips or whatever. And they don't buy it. They're like, yeah, I love chips, but I don't buy them. I don't eat them because, you know, I overeat them X, Y, Z. And I'm like, to me, that's so sad. Like, if it's your favorite food, why are you eliminating it? Because, you know, it doesn't have to be that way.
Because that's the thing. It's like diet culture has conditioned us to think.
Yeah.
We can't have these foods to see success. You know, I mean, that's what we're taught now. So now it's about unteaching that. And I think that, like I said, is scary to people having that much flexibility. I think people like the black and white. I can have this. I can't have this. I mean, look at like fasting. Fasting's huge right now because I can eat in this window and I can't eat in this window. It's again,
and that's all I have to think about. Yeah. That's it. Exactly. Yeah.
But that doesn't help. That's not,
doesn't do anything.
Behavior change. It's not teaching you how to
anything.
Exactly. You're not going to, and again, like we said, you're not going to follow these rules for the rest of your life. There's always going to be an event or something that goes on where you're not going to be able to follow a fasting rule. You're not going to be following these diet rules. So you may as well learn how to incorporate these foods so you have control over them in future situations.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
While we were talking about this and like, when we were talking about pizza and stuff and like adding nutrition, I feel like there is an example where say you go to an event or something and you don't really know what's going to be served. You might have an idea and say you get there, like say it's like whatever, a football party or I don't know, anything. And it's just like, all they have is pizza. There is not a veggie in sight.
Yep.
Then what do you do? So in that case, you know, obviously, you know, those situations are probably going to come up now and then. And it's like, that's when, again, not getting like freaked out by it, not having that good and bad food mentality and just saying, okay, pizza is the dish tonight or whatever the food is, you know, like that's the meal. I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to listen to my body. And you can think, oh, maybe I'm lacking in the veggie department in this meal right now. Okay, maybe tomorrow I'm gonna, you know, make a point to include veggies, like make
a big salad.
Yeah, like not a detox.
Yeah,
not a veggie detox, veggie only. Just like, oh, maybe, you know, maybe I'll have like a veggie egg scramble for breakfast, or what's a way I can add veggies to my lunch in a way that I like. Like, it's not the end of the world, and
that comes down to consistency is more important than perfection.
Yes.
Like you said, there's always going to be these cases that we can't control, like having pizza or wings or whatever it is. And, you know, really no veggies or, you know, like no protein sources of any sort, really.
It happens.
And you need to be prepared to navigate that and not let it completely spiral.
Exactly. And like, let's be honest, there's some days that like you maybe just don't want vegetables like as much, and that's okay. Like you don't have to turn it into a spiral. Like don't make it a big deal when it's not.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And kind of going along the lines of going to social situations, I know I see it a lot that people will tend to restrict all day for these social situations, and then they get to situations and now it's like, again, like I have to go ham on this pizza. And that's one of the worst things that you can do. Like something I always recommend to people when going to a social situation is eat something before you go. Eat something a couple of, like, don't go to the social situation starving.
Starving. No, like, you're setting yourself up.
Balanced meal. Have a high protein, high veggie, something that's going to keep you pretty full. So when you get there, if there's only pizza there, you're like, oh, it's fine because I got a lot of veggies and a lot of protein in before I came. And you're not starving. So you're not going to make these, you know, types of decisions that you were if you were completely hangry. Once you get to that hangry mark, we don't make good decisions. That's a pretty
way more difficult. Yeah. To make, you know, to be mindful and listen to our body, to make more balanced decisions. When we get to that point, it's just human nature. It is less, you know, it's going to be less easy to do that. So
exactly.
That's a good point.
Out of control because you restricted food all day. You're not restricting necessarily a certain food. So you're going crazy on the certain food. You just restricted food. So now you're like, I just need anything and everything that I can get my hands on. So
that's another vicious cycle
off too, because they're like, what do you mean eat more calories? Like before I go. And it's like, yeah, because it's going to pay off because you look at the total calorie intake at the end of the day, it's likely going to be less than it is if you restrict all day and then go crazy on all these foods in the end of 3 hours at night.
And you're going to feel way better, like physically going to sleep at night, and then probably going to sleep better and wake up with more energy the next day. And it just is going to trickle down into like other parts of your life as well.
And now you're kind of creating like a different cycle. Like this is a cycle that we want. We want the feel good cycle.
Virtuous cycle.
Yes, exactly. So I think that that's kind of an important concept also.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think this is an episode that like, if this resonates with you, you know, whoever's listening, like it's an episode you can like put on repeat.
Yeah.
You know, when you need to, you know, I think, again, like you said, unlearn some of those strategies that diet culture sort of normalizes around food and cheat meals and the whole good and bad thing. And, you know, I think probably a few episodes can be like that. So like revisit it, you know, if you need these reminders, it is something that I think does take practice. It's not something that, you know, might happen overnight. It takes practice, it won't
happen overnight.
It's way better to live in that gray area.
Yeah. Even if it's scary at first, the gray area is where we want to be, because if you take a look, you know, like these extreme areas have never really done anything good for us yet. We still be here. So, you know, if you're listening to this, take it as your sign. We don't want to be in those extreme areas. They've never done us good.
Yeah.
It's never done us good. You know, it's time to take a step back and, you know, even if it is uncomfortable getting into this gray area, we're here to help you because this is where we live and we love
this
it.
This is what we do. That's what it's all about.
Yeah. So if this episode resonated with any of you guys, make sure to give it a like, give it a share.
We're loving everyone's feedback.
Yeah.
Keep the ideas coming.
Yeah. And if there's any, we got this episode by popular demand, so make sure to let us know what else you guys want to hear about, because we'll make a podcast for it.
Yeah. And I think we have some fun guests to come on the podcast in the future. So it's going to get dynamic and exciting. So buckle up and stay tuned.
Yes. All right. Until next time.